You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank, and today I'm joined by Kim Mundy, a senior economist within our international economics team. Kim, good to have you on today.
Thanks, Belinda. It's good to be joining you today.
Now, we are going to be talking about our outlook for the global economy. So generally we do this every few months or so.
A lot more frequently at the moment.
Due to COVID-19. But in a way, this update is a lot more optimistic because you've upgraded your forecasts.
Absolutely, and it's really nice to actually be upgrading forecasts for a change.
Unlike 2020.
Exactly. But you're exactly right. So we have upgraded our forecasts and we are now forecasting a 6.3% rebound in global GDP activity this year. That's up from 5.2%, which is what we were previously forecasting. And really, I guess the main drivers behind that, there are three things. One is the fact that we're seeing an accelerated vaccine rollout a lot faster than we were initially expecting. We've also got, you know, consumers sitting on huge amounts of savings that are ready to spend that when they can. And also we're still seeing the impacts of fiscal stimulus, especially in some countries like the US, which will also help to underpin the recovery.
I know in Australia, one of the main reasons we've been quite optimistic is that elevated savings balance that accrued more than a lot of people had expected in 2020 because people couldn't spend money, and also because of government stimulus as well. Now, when we look at potential for upside risks, are there any reasons why potentially the global economic outlook could be slightly more optimistic than you're expecting?
Yeah, there is. And actually, I mean, it's really nice that that is the case. The balance of risks are actually more balanced now. Last year, it was all about the downside risks. And really, it's just the fact that we might actually be undercooking the pace at which activity does recover once government restrictions ease. And it's just exactly what you were saying. Many consumers have, they've accumulated north of sort of 5% of GDP worth of savings in a number of countries. So we could be in for an incredibly strong surge in spending if they choose to spend that money when those government restrictions end. So it's just really about how confident consumers are and how much they want to spend this money that they've accumulated.
And I think a lot of that will come down to the health outcome. If they feel confident that the virus is under control because of the vaccine programs, they're more likely to go out there and spend. Now, what about downside risk? Now, we spent most of 2020 talking about downside risks, and obviously the path of the virus was still the number one downside risks out there. What are the downside risks for 2021?
Well, I think it's actually important to remember that the economy is still tied to the path of the virus. Until we have enough people vaccinated that you reach that sort of herd immunity level, what's happening with the virus can still influence what's happening in the economy. And, we're not out of the woods yet. One interesting thing that we've seen is government's reaction function essentially to this new UK variant is a lot more risk averse. So, for example, in countries like Australia and New Zealand, we've seen a number of short, sharp lockdowns when there's been a case of that variant. And essentially, if those keep going until we've got enough people vaccinated, every time an economy is forced to shut down, it doesn't matter how short it is, some economic activity is permanently lost. So if that continues, that could be, that's a downside risk. And in other countries, like in the US, for example, that UK variant is now spreading really rapidly. And the risk is that it actually outpaces the vaccine program. That can just slow the recovery, slow the reopening, which would delay that burst in activity that we're forecasting.
All right, now what we're going to do is go around the five major international economies that we cover: US, China, the Eurozone, UK and Japan.
It's the most international travelling we're allowed to do these days.
So. that's right. So we'll start off with the US. I mean, you and I have spoken this year already on what the new President Joe Biden mm-hmm. may do for the economy and also for climate change. But what is the US economic outlook for 2021?
Yeah, so we're forecasting a pretty strong 4.9% jump in economic growth this year. That's just reflecting those vaccination programs, high consumer savings, and that fiscal stimulus. So if we look at households, we're estimating households have saved in excess of an additional US $1 trillion during the pandemic. That's a pretty big number.
It's $125 billion in Australia, so that gives you a sense of the difference in size of the two economies.
And at the same time, if Congress does pass this $1.9 trillion fiscal stimulus bill that's currently making its way through Congress, that will take total US fiscal stimulus since the onset of the pandemic to 25% of annual GDP. Now, that's another huge number. So really, what we think is that it's going to be consumers helped by more fiscal stimulus and their savings that are going to spend their way out of this recession. Consumption accounts for 70% of US GDP, so it's heavily tied to what the consumer is doing. And given the sort of time frame for the vaccination program and the fact that once there are enough people, we'll have those restrictions eased, we're penciling in that sort of boom in consumption could start in about the second half of this year.
And moving on to China, they obviously were one of the outperformers in 2020. They had a very large fiscal stimulus program. Mm-hmm. They got on top of the virus a lot earlier than many other advanced economies. What's the outlook like in 2021? Are they still going to outpace advanced economies?
They are going to outpace, but one of the things that's kind of interesting is that they're almost the odd man out in this forecasting round because we've actually left the Chinese GDP growth forecast for 2021 unchanged, and we've downgraded our 2022 forecast very slightly to 5.3% from 5.4%. Now, I guess we do expect the economy to slow, but only very gradually, and that's just as some of that monetary and fiscal policy support, which you were just mentioning, is set to slowly unwind. We do also expect more macroprudential tightening measures to be introduced, which can slow the property market. I guess one interesting thing is often, you know, when we're talking about booming global economy, advanced economies, you know, demand lifting strongly, we think, oh, well, Chinese exports will benefit from that. Maybe not as much this time around because we expect the recovery will be in the services sector rather than the manufacturing sector. So won't see quite as much of a boost to activity as a result of that.
And that's really the flip side of what we saw in 2020, where manufacturing generally outperformed services because they were less impacted by social distancing requirements and restrictions as well.
Yeah.
Now, turning our attention to the Eurozone, they were kind of hit hard in the later stages of 2020. What's the outlook looking like there?
Yeah, so we do think that the Eurozone is sort of on its way out of its double-dip recession. So fell back into recession in Q4 2020. We think they're still in recession in Q1, but the outlook is improving. We do need to see a pretty rapid lift in vaccinations there, though, and their vaccination program has been a bit delayed. Europeans have also saved their way through this pandemic, so the same story holds there, where you've got consumers sitting on a solid sum of cash, ready to spend that cash once restrictions ease, and they've got more confidence that they can go out and spend and not catch the virus. So, you know, we think there is a lot of pent-up demand there, and you know, we're expecting a 4.1% lift in economic growth over 2021.
Still a pretty reasonable number. Now, turning our attention to the UK, and this is really a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? They're way ahead on their vaccination program compared to some other major economies, but there's still some headwinds in terms of Brexit, isn't there?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, the UK is really leading the charge in the vaccination program. Over 25% of the population have had, you know, at least one vaccination now. They've also been hit really hard by the pandemic, and we think they're in recession as of right now, given that they were put under strong restrictions again because of that contagious variant that's worked its way through the country. But with that strong vaccination program, the Prime Minister has now announced the roadmap to removing restrictions. So that should be completed by the 21st of June, all going to plan. So really, once that occurs, again, consumers have saved a lot, so they'll be able to start spending some of that. But as you said, we can't forget about Brexit as much as we might try sometimes. And really, the risk at the moment is that it's a very narrow deal. So yes, they've got a deal with the EU, but it doesn't cover a lot of things, including financial services and passporting. So there's just a risk that that ongoing, so the risk is that business investment remains weak, and, you know, that can just offset some of the strength that we might see coming through the consumer side of things.
And our last stop on our whirlwind around the world trip is Japan.
Yeah, so we're forecasting 3.8% growth in the 2021 financial year, 1% in 2022, so a bit weaker than other economies. At the moment, you've got about 60% of Japan's economy has been caught under the state of emergency because they've also had additional waves of COVID infections that they're trying to stamp out at the moment. That's likely to have pushed them into a double-dip recession in Q1. But, you know, infections are starting to fall, and we do expect that that state of emergency will probably be lifted sometime in March. In terms of, you know, what the rest of the year looks like, again, it's been a theme. Savings.
Yes.
Savings, pent-up demand, that will help to lift activity. There are a few offsets, just being particularly actually that ongoing travel and social distancing requirements might mean that the Olympics, if it is able to go ahead, just has a bit of a less of an economic boost.
Than it normally would.
Yeah.
Kim, appreciate your insights on the global economy and what it may look like in 2021.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you can read Kim Mundy and the rest of the International Economics Team report titled Global Economy Primed to Spring Back, which was published on the 25th of February 2021 on combankresearch.com.au.